Me this week and said that for Christians, Easter is like the Super Bowl. Well, I want to tell you something today. I'm a big Lions fan, and even if the Lions made the Super Bowl, and even if they by chance, by very, 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 very small chance, they would win the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't be happy, but I'm just telling you, it is nothing like Easter. It is nothing like the celebration of Easter. Easter is way bigger, and as someone told me from the first gathering, way better than the Super Bowl. You see, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. They literally put him in a tomb, and they rolled the stone in front of it. And after the third day, he rose again from the dead, according to the Scriptures. And he appeared. He appeared to many different people. We kind of looked at this last week at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 15. He appeared to many people, including the Marys that we read about earlier, the two Marys that came to the tomb to serve, and they found the rock rolled away and an empty tomb, and they encountered Jesus Christ, the risen Christ. They saw him. They heard him. They embraced his feet. They worshiped him. And this is 2,000 years later. 2,000 years later, and Jesus is still appearing and changing people's lives, giving life to people who are dead. And today, we worship Christ with over 2 billion Christians worldwide. Isn't that amazing? 2 billion Christians, more than that, worldwide. So please stand with me right now for our scripture reading as we contemplate the meaning of the resurrection. This is from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 22. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive. This is God's word. You can be seated. Here's the main point today. If anyone wants to truly live, they must wake up from their spiritual sleep and accept Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're tired of the way your life is, you're tired of really not living, you want to truly live, we need to wake up. We need to wake up to our spiritual slumber and accept who Jesus Christ is. So let's wake up to three things. The first one is this. If you're adrift in this life, if you're adrift in this life, you might be asleep if you're adrift. Now let me give you kind of a picture of what it means to be adrift. I had a situation many years ago. I had worked 30 straight hours. Very labor-intensive job. And I was driving home. And I was really struggling to stay awake. You ever had that situation? You're driving and you're having a hard time. You start pulling the hairs on your hand to stay awake. You know what I'm talking about? I was really struggling. I had all the windows down. I had the radio up on 10. I was blasting my eardrums. But it was to no avail. It didn't matter. I fell asleep. And guess what? I drifted right off the road. The next thing I remember were corn stalks flying. And I was going about 45 miles an hour. And this picture here I'll put up on the screen kind of gives you an idea of what it looked like once I was stopped. Okay, so if you're drifting, you might be asleep. Okay? So what does it mean to be asleep? Sometimes in the Bible, that passage I just read, it refers to sleep. Sometimes in the Bible, to sleep means that someone is dead. You study it for yourself. But look at this phrase here from that first verse that we read. It says, for those who have fallen asleep. And what this means here in its context, what is being talked about is people that are physically dead, however, they're spiritually alive. And therefore, the encouragement from this passage is that Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. And if you're in Christ, you will be resurrected someday. If you physically die, yes, you will be physically dead, but you will live. Now take that to someone that you love very much who's in Christ, who has gone on before you. They will be resurrected from the dead. Isn't this heartening? But there's another sense in this passage. Death is described in this, or mentioned in this passage, and it relates to a sleep. It says here in verse 21, for since death came through a man, verse 21, and then later in verse 22, for as in Adam all die. Okay? And what this passage is teaching us, and it's a thread right through the whole Bible, is that to be spiritually asleep means to be spiritually dead. This is really important. So who is spiritually asleep? Who is spiritually dead? Well, we have to go back to the beginning of the Bible. We have to go back to the Garden of Eden. We have to go back to Adam and Eve. Now, if you're watching or you're here, you may scoff at this idea of Adam being presented as a historical person. But I just want to say my biggest proof for this is Jesus said so. When Jesus teaches on marriage, he goes back to the Garden of Eden, and he talks about the first wedding. And so I am fully comfortable and fully confident, not that I understand it all, but that Adam and Eve were historical people. Adam disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. And this act birthed sin. When Adam disobeyed God, it brought to fruit sin. And sin brought a curse. And this is something that is really true even today. When we're tempted to do something that we shouldn't do, we have a temptation, we're drawn to something. If we flee it, that's one case. If we go along with it, that temptation becomes sin. And sin always leads to consequences. It always leads to difficulty. And that sin of Adam in the garden, it led to the brokenness and the disorder that you and I, all of us here, we experience every day in this world. The brokenness, the disorder, things are not right. And ultimately, it led to death. Spiritual death for all those who are in Adam. One other verse I'll point out, Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. We're all born in Adam. We're all born into the family of Adam. You don't need to apply for that one. You're in. You're born, you're in. You're in Adam. It's just like the family you're born into, you didn't get to choose which family you got to be in. You were born to your mom and your dad. You're born into that family. And so you came into this world, being in Adam, with some baggage. You and I. We have a sin nature. We have a disposition towards sin. And then, because that can be kind of theoretical, we actually sin. Each one of us in this room. It could be something that's very kind of under the radar, kind of quiet. You know, you've got an envy, or you've got a pride and an ego that's below the surface, but it's there. Or it might be really right out there in front of everybody. Like, you're mean to everybody. Let's just be honest. or you're greedy. And it's just so obvious to see. So how do you know if you're spiritually asleep? This morning, you're here, you're listening. How do you know if you're spiritually dead? This is serious. And the question is, are you adrift? Are you adrift in this life? You're adrift if you have no purpose in your life. You're trying to find meaning. You're directionless. You don't have direction. And any trend that comes along, you just get swept away by that current of that particular trend. There's nothing anchoring you. You're just floating along. You're adrift. You're adrift if you have no sense of right and wrong. You're morally all over the place. You wake up in somebody else's bed, and you know inside, like, this isn't right. There's no moral compass guiding you into healthy decisions. You're adrift if you're building relationships for the wrong reasons. You're self-centered. You want it your way. You want what you want. Or you're codependent. There's codependency reasons going on. But I think the biggest one is this. The biggest way that you know you're adrift is you don't understand your spirit. You don't understand you have something within you that God has put within you. If you have the sense that you're adrift in this world, you're having that sense this morning, you need to wake up to the idea that something is desperately wrong. Well, what else do we need to wake up to? Let's go to the second point. We need to wake up to honesty. We need to deal honestly with your spiritual state. Wherever you are, you need to be honest about it. Not trying to make it better than it is. Not putting lipstick on a pig, if you will, but what it is. Now, when I was in that cornfield, something on that ride woke me up. Still not convinced I know exactly, but I got some ideas. One thing, it was very bumpy. It was like riding a bucking bronco, you know, whoa, you know, or the corn stalks flying. It was like corn explosions. But the noise, I think, was the thing. There was noise, a different kind of noise, you know, the stuff under rattling on the bottom of the vehicle. Once I was awakened, I was aware. Once I was awakened, I was aware. And I immediately swerved. Who knows why? Fortunately, I didn't roll it. And you know what? Here's the point. We have to listen to what is going on. We need to become aware of what's coming on. You know, sometimes we hear a noise from our soul, and we know things are not right. Now listen, when the washing machine makes a noise, I know something's not right. But sometimes we feel something in here, and we know it's not right, and we just push it away. We just push it down. One indication is worry. Now, we all have worries. I have worries. Some of them are small. What are the Lions going to do with their number 6 pick? Are they going to blow it again? Okay. And some are much bigger, like I have adult kids, and I worry about their welfare. So I'm a pastor. We have worries. But what happens is when worries become an anxious state, we're anxious. We're anxious all the time and about everything. And the number one mental health crisis in the United States that's facing adolescents and adults is anxiety. Okay? We're not dealing honestly with what's going on in there. We're not dealing honestly that we can't control what's out here, and so we take it in here. And the question is, are we reaching out for help? Are we reaching out to God? Or are we just trying harder? Now, you know, when you drive your vehicle into a cornfield like I've described, when you drive yourself out there like that, you know, I avoided the big rocks. There were big rocks that, you know, lined it. And I had to go through a big ditch. You know, when you get out in the middle, I mean, it's a trouble to get it back out. Okay, it's not easy. And I was in there. I was hung up. I was going forward and back, you know, trying to get this thing out of here because all I wanted to do was get back on the road. I'm tired. I want to go home. I want to lay on my bed and go to sleep. And I just kept trying. I kept striving and I kept trying harder. And my situation was telling me something, but I wasn't listening. My situation was telling me I need to be rescued. I need someone to help me. But I was still trying to control it. Is this you? Is this you? Do you think you have all your problems under control? But are you really just ignoring what your inner person is telling you? Now, this is kind of a fancy thought, but have you ever heard of cognitive dissonance? Cognitive dissonance. Cognitive thinking dissonance. There's something that is inconsistent. So inside we're feeling a certain way, but out here we portray everything's okay. It's called cognitive dissonance. And what that leads to is more anxiety. We're not dealing with it. We're not dealing with the problem. We're putting a Band-Aid on a tumor, let's say. It leads to more anxiety, which leads to depression and can ultimately lead to things like suicidal ideation, right? You may be trying to overcome your inner disturbances with the overuse of technology, let's say. I'm going to blind myself and with that, or pornography. Or sometimes people cope with some kind of substance abuse. Just trying to escape, trying to numb the pain that you're feeling. Now, obviously, this morning we have some people that you're not Christians yet. And then we have some people here who are alive in Christ. You know Him, but you've been acting like you're spiritually asleep. You're not really living in Christian community, meaning you have brothers and sisters in your life that you're hanging with and accountable to, that are praying for you. And this is the first time you've been to a worship gathering to worship Jesus Christ. It's the first time you've been to one in months. You're not seeking God's wisdom. You're just out on your own. You know, the Lone Ranger, taking on the world by yourself. And you're living in that current in the world. And your soul, though, this morning is telling you something. This has got to stop. If your soul is telling you something, that things are not all right, be honest with God. Just be honest with Him this morning. He can handle it. He can handle your honesty. Be vulnerable. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is a thread through the whole Bible. It says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Turn to Him. Embrace Him. Here's the third thing we need to wake up to. If you face spiritual death honestly, you will have life. If you face it honestly, you will find life. Okay, when I realized I was stuck in that cornfield and I couldn't fix it on my own, guess what I had to do? No, that was before Brenda. I had to go find the farmer. I had to go find the farmer whose field I just destroyed. And, you know, there's fear that comes with that. But I had to go to the one that I had messed up with, if you want to say it that way. And sometimes we have to face the ones that we've wronged and appreciate Hunter's testimony. But you know what? Here's the amazing thing, and I was pretty tired again. It just seemed like the farmer was there. I didn't have to look very far. And he had a big tractor with dualies on it. And he pulled me out. He was very gracious. And I'm just giving it to you straight. And that's the truth about God. The very one you wronged is the very one who saves you. The very one, we'll put that on the screen, the very one that you wrong, the very one that I wrong, is the very one who saves you. You see, death came through a man, Adam, and life also comes through a man, the man who is God, Christ Jesus. Adam disobeyed God. God's Son, Jesus Christ, who came from heaven, he obeyed God the Father. And by his death, he brought righteousness. He brought what was right that can be applied to anyone's life, can be applied to your life, no matter what, no matter what you've done. It can be applied to your life. Christ made amends for sins on the cross. He paid the debt by dying, according to the scriptures. And the resurrection validated that payment. You ever go to buy gas? You know, you put your credit card in there, and it either says declined, which happened to me this week, or accepted. Christ's payment accepted. His payment is accepted for you. And by his resurrection, he brings life. He brings eternal life. So we need to wake up from our spiritual slumber and accept Jesus Christ. What does that mean? What does it mean? It means abandoning yourself. That's honestly what it means. Abandoning your solutions, your way of figuring it out, your ego. You can do nothing to save yourself. I'm in that cornfield and I have corn stalks and I'm trying to dig my car out. How ridiculous is that? And sometimes that's our life. You can do nothing to save your situation. You need to get rid of the cognitive dissonance and start aligning your behaviors with what's going on in here. You feel lost. Be found. You feel purposelessness. Find meaning in Christ. It means abandoning your ego, repenting of your sins, and admitting your need. You're here for a reason this morning. There's no question in my mind. You're here for God's purpose. He wants to wake you up. He wants you to come alive. And the band is going to come up right now. But what does that mean? And we have all kinds of people here. Everybody's different. Everybody has their own personality, their own background. And so it could be a bunch of possibilities, but I want to give you three next steps that you could take today. The first one is accept Jesus. Accept him. Come out of your slumber and accept him. And it's the ABCs. ABC. Admit you're a sinner. Just call out to him. I've sinned against you, God. I'm broken. I'm needy. I can't get my car. I'm stuck. Admit. And then believe that Christ died for you and commit your life to him. If you do that, you have life. Amen? Now, for some of you here today, you're living as if you are spiritually asleep. Everything else is more important than the centrality of Christ in your life. And I'm asking you to consider repenting from that, recommitting your life to Christ. How do you do that? You just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been wrong. I'm so at work all the time and it's all my focus is at or over here, whatever it may be. Turn to him. And lastly, maybe today, gratitude is just welling up in you about what you're being reminded of what Christ has done and the life you have and the resurrection. And so here's your next step. Share the life you have with others. Would you please stand? We're going to end up our service here with a couple of songs. And as you reflect, just invite Christ in.